today as we come to the table.
He was rejoicing, saying, this is great. Why? You see, because of the reputation of Joseph, because of his relationship to Joseph, those that would have been an abomination to him were not. And so it is with Jesus and us today. We would be an abomination before the throne of God, sinners, not pure, not holy, but because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, now we're acceptable. And not only are we acceptable, the Lord wants us to have the best of the land, Goshen. Now, I love it because Goshen literally means to draw near. And isn't that what the Lord does to us? When we give our life to Him, He makes a way that we might draw near the King, that we might be close.
Today, Pastor Mark will speak on the special bond that Joseph had with his family and how this relationship led to greater blessing. In the same way, a relationship with Jesus always leads to blessing, most notably eternal life. There is only one team that brings ultimate joy, and that is God's team. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. Because of God's provision, Joseph had earned great favor in Egypt, which then allowed for his family to reap some benefits. Because of Jesus, we are able to join the Lord's family and reap the benefit of salvation. Have you made the decision to follow Jesus today? He wants you to be in His family. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis, chapter 46, as he continues his message, Settling in Goshen.
How do we grieve His Spirit? By not living the way God wants us to live. So as we read the Bible, as we're instructed by the Holy Spirit, as the Lord instructs us, then we know now how to approach the Father. We know what's acceptable to Him. We know what will keep us close to Him and not far away from Him. And so we see this whole instructing here of Joseph and his brothers of the proper way to approach the king on the throne, if you will. And so we're going to see they follow his instruction. And because of that, they're able to draw near. Notice verse 1. Then Joseph went and told Pharaoh and said, my father and my brothers and their flocks and their herds and all that they possess have come from the land of Canaan. And indeed, they are in the land of Goshen. Now again, notice we come to the next way that Joseph is a type of Christ. And notice this, Joseph was a mediator or a go-between for his brothers and the king on the throne. And that's exactly what the Bible says Jesus is to us. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. You see, if you want to get to the king on the throne, you've got to go through Jesus. If they wanted to get to Pharaoh, they had to go through Joseph. There was no other way to do it. And if we want to get to the king on the throne, we have to go through Jesus. There's no other way. You know, people ask me sometimes, is there any other way to God? And you've heard the expression, all roads lead to God. That's true. All roads do lead to God, but not how you're thinking right now. The Bible says that all men will one day stand before God, which means whatever road you're on, you're going to end up in front of Him one day. But there's only one road that leads into the kingdom of God, and that road is Jesus Christ through His Son. The Bible says there's no other name under heaven or earth by which a man can be saved except through Christ Jesus. And so we have to understand if we want to get to the throne, if we want to get to the king, there's only one way. It's through our one mediator. And Joseph and his brothers, they only had one mediator to get them to Pharaoh. There was no other way. Think about it. They couldn't get to Pharaoh any other way. There's no way they could have, you know, gotten to Pharaoh had it not been through Joseph. And so we see this whole picture here of Jesus and what he means to us and to the Father. And notice it says here, and he took five men from among his brothers and presented them to Pharaoh. Now, this blows me away, and this didn't really hit me until this morning, really right before the service. But grasp what's going on. As I begin to imagine this whole scene in my mind, as you know, I like to live these things out. Here's Joseph in all of his pomp and circumstance, wearing the finest clothes of Egypt. He's got on the designer clothes. He's the number two man in all the world, arguably, and the number two man in Egypt for sure. He's wearing the finest clothes, living in the finest palace, and now his brothers show up. What's their situation like? Well, what would it be like for you living in the wilderness, taking care of sheep? They lived in tents. They had rags for clothes, so to speak, dirty, torn, smelly. They couldn't bathe on a regular basis. And again, it wouldn't be expected living out there. When you did bathe, the moment you were done, you'd be dirty again from all the blowing dust and dirt and all the things. And it was a famine. It was even more dry than normal. And what amazes me about this is we see that Joseph goes to his brothers and he sees them like that. Now, my tendency would have been, you know what, guys, you know, why don't we, you know, let's get cleaned up a little bit. Now, he did give them some change of clothes. No doubt they wore something a little bit nicer. But at the same time, realize that they're shepherds. And he's going to present them now to the king. And he comes in and I'm thinking, you know what? I think that if it was my brothers and you were there, you know, you might be tempted to be a little bit ashamed or a little bit of embarrassed. Well, here's what I love about Joseph. Joseph went to Pharaoh and he got these stinky, you know, dirty sheep herders who lived in tents and had, you know, rags for clothes almost. And he brought them before the king and he said, you know what? These are my brothers. And there's no sign in scripture that he was ashamed to call them his brother. You know what? That reminds me of the Lord when it comes to us. Because here's the Lord in all of his splendor and all of his glory and all of his beauty in the kingdom. And here we are in these filthy rags of sin and betrayal and rebellion against the Lord, saved only by his blood, you know, and as I say, getting in smoking, so to speak. And you know what? He points to us before the Father and says, these are my brothers, and he's not ashamed to do it. Isn't that amazing? The Bible says the Lord is not ashamed to call us his own. He's not ashamed to call us his brothers. And I think, Lord, would I have been ashamed? You know, as Joseph, would it have been embarrassing to me to say, yeah, my family's here. You don't want to meet them. You know, it's kind of a different world they live in and all, but I'll tell them he said, hi, Pharaoh. He brings them before Pharaoh and says, these are my brothers. And Jesus has brought you, filthy rags and all, if you've given your life to Jesus Christ. And he's not ashamed to say, these are my brothers. Now, I was convicted when I realized how many times have I been ashamed to say, in my filthy rags, to him in his glory, he's my Lord. Oh, you know the situation. Somebody has to bring up religion. You're minding your own business. You aren't really even that involved, but they start talking about how Jesus is not really God. And by the way, he's not the only way to get to heaven. There's all these other different religions. And after all, God would never allow that. And so certainly it's okay. It doesn't matter what religion or what group you're in. Certainly it's fine. And you feel your heart now begin to beat so hard, you know they can probably see it through your jacket. Because you know God is now saying, are you going to speak up? I'm not ashamed to call you my brother. Are you ashamed to call me your Lord? I say, all right, Lord, now listen, before you feel too bad, because we've all blown that, how do you have the strength to be able to share in that moment when the heart is beating and you're nervous like that? It's only by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because you, like Peter, like me, will deny the Lord and fail in that situation, which we have all done unless we are walking in the Spirit of God. Peter, you're going to deny me three times. No, they all deny you, Lord, I won't. I don't care what kind of snap meeting or Christmas party it is. If they bring up that Buddha stuff and that Islam and all, I'm speaking up, Lord, because I'm your man. Be careful. He said, Peter, you know what? The Spirit's willing. I know you really want to. That's what you want to do. But the flesh is weak. And this night you will deny me three times. And Peter found out no matter how strong he wanted to be in his own ability, he wasn't able to do it. Now, here's the lesson for that. Okay, then what do we do? Lord, I don't want to be ashamed of you. You're not ashamed of me, and I'm wearing dirty, filthy rags living down here in this world. You're up in all your splendor and glory, and you're not ashamed to call me your brother? How could I be ashamed to call you my Lord? I need your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit. When you read about the disciples in the early church and they had boldness to share, it says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And after that, they had boldness to speak the word of God in truth. It comes by being filled with the Holy Spirit. So ask God to fill you, to come upon you, and to use you. And you know, when you realize that the Lord looks at us in all of our filthy rags and all this, and he's not ashamed to call us a brother, that should make you love him more than you've ever loved him before. Especially when we think about sometimes, some of you guys, you need to go to school and you don't want to tell people that's your brother or your sister, you know, that's your mom and dad. That you don't want to tell them that's your car, you know, and the dad made you drive it. You know, you're like, ah, you know. I've told you that, guys, that before. I used to go when I was a kid. We'd drive up in front of the school and there was this tall face on the front of the school when I was in, you know, junior high. And it was this big, tall, you know, brick thing. And this old Chrysler we had this squeak in the front wheel that you didn't hear very much unless there was something it could echo off of. And so we come in, all my friends are always out in front of the school, you know, and we pull in the morning, this huge, big Chrysler. And you'd hear it bouncing off the walls. You're going, oh, you know, because you're wanting to be cool at that age, right? That's the cool age. This, you get older and you don't care about being cool, but you care about cool then, right? and you get all your friends are, hey, you know, what are you doing? And all kind of snickering or whatever. I think about that and think, you know what? Listen, we pull up before the throne of God. And Jesus doesn't go, excuse me, Father. That's a, yeah, it's Mark. He's saved. He says, that's my brother. And I love him. If that doesn't make you love your Lord, nothing will. He's not ashamed of us. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He said, because it's the power unto salvation. We need to pray for boldness. God, give us boldness. How we need boldness so that we can be your witnesses, Lord, and we can be what you want us to be. I love it. It's interesting also in this verse. Isn't this great? He took five of his brothers. Again, what does the number five represent in Scripture? It's the number of grace. And what a beautiful picture of Christ this is for us. Why? Because it is only by the grace of God that we can be brought to the throne of God. It is not by works. It is not by our efforts. You know, if the brothers had shown up and they said, well, we're just going to really do, we're going to clean up the palace a lot. We're going to do some yard work and, you know, we're going to mow your dirt. We're just going to really make this place look nice. By the time we're done, you're not going to recognize this place. We're going to really, and then we're going to get in to see Pharaoh. You think they'd have gotten in? He just said, forget it. Who are you? You're not getting in to see Pharaoh. The only way they could get in to see Pharaoh was by the grace that was extended them because of their relationship to Joseph. And so you see, believer, it's not by how much we go to church or what we do or how nice we are, what a good person we are. We are not getting in the palace to see the king unless it is through the Savior and the one who gives us the grace to get before the king. And that is Jesus Christ. And so again, we see this other beautiful picture here of the grace of God as Joseph gets him in. Then Pharaoh said to his brothers, what is your occupation? Well, now they've been instructed, remember? By the word of Joseph, even as we've been instructed by the word of God and the way to please our king, by spending time in his word and prayer, he says, what is your occupation? So they know what to say. And they said to Pharaoh, well, your servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers. And they said to Pharaoh, we have come to dwell in the land because your servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is severe in the land of Canaan. Now, therefore, please let your servants dwell in the land of Goshen. Again, setting the groundwork to be there in Goshen. And what I love about this, too, is notice Pharaoh, although they were an abomination, they admitted before the throne, hi, we know we're an abomination to you. It would be like standing up in front of a bunch of people who hate God in our country and saying, I live for Jesus Christ. At that very moment, they would all look at you and say, you're one of those Bible-thumping, you know, whatever. And we don't want that. He just said that to Pharaoh, okay? And what does Pharaoh do? I love this. Notice Pharaoh's response. Then Pharaoh spoke to Joseph, saying, your father and your brothers have come to you. The land of Egypt is before you. Have your father and your brothers dwell in the best of the land, and let them dwell in the land of Goshen. And if you have any competent men among them, then make them chief herdsmen over my livestock. He was rejoicing, saying, this is great. Why? You see, because of the reputation of Joseph, because of his relationship to Joseph, those that would have been an abomination to him were not. And so it is with Jesus and us today. We would be an abomination before the throne of God, sinners, not pure, not holy, but because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, now we're acceptable. And not only are we acceptable, the Lord wants us to have the best of the land. Goshen. Now, I love it because Goshen literally means to draw near. And isn't that what the Lord does to us? When we give our life to him, he makes a way that we might draw near the king, that we might be close, that we might be in the land that is blessed, the best of the land. And notice this too. I love it. He says, you know what? Not only that, I'll give them a job. I'll employ them. Now, this would have been a big deal working for the Pharaoh. This would have been a great government job. He says, find some competent men, let them work for me. And of course, there would have been great benefits working for the Egyptians. And so now we see the blessings of God beginning to pour out more on them because God is giving them this all this, you know, responsibility. And on top of it, we're going to see next week that all the cattle of Egypt is given over to Pharaoh. And so they're going to be taking care of all of the cattle that's given to Pharaoh. So they're going to have even greater responsibility and a greater job for Pharaoh and the kingdom. But again, what's interesting about this, notice he says, and this is what's key here, if you find any competent men. Now, why do I say is that key? Notice this. If you have any that are competent, it means that have proven themselves, then give them the greater position of authority. Why do I find this interesting? Because remember, as we go through this passage, it's a picture also of Jesus Christ coming back in the second coming, establishing his kingdom in the millennial kingdom, and depending on the faithfulness of those who have done their work for the Lord before, they will be rewarded in that kingdom. Here's my point. Here's what the Bible says, believer. Depending on how faithful you are right now in this life, it will depend on the level of authority and responsibility that God gives you in the millennial kingdom. And that's exactly what the Bible teaches. That's exactly what we see in this passage. He says, hey, find me some guys that have been faithful prior to this. They were trustworthy to do the work that they were called to do before we got to this place. Find them, and then give them a job. I'll put them in a great position of authority. I'll give them a position in my kingdom. And that's exactly what Jesus says he'll do. He'll give us a position in the kingdom if we've been faithful to serve while we're here. And so again, the reward here, I love it. And that's exactly what the Bible says is going to be happening to us. And so he says, give them the best of the land. Let him be the herdsman over my livestock. Notice verse 7, then Joseph brought in his father Jacob, and he set him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Jacob, how old are you? Now, I kind of think there's probably a nuance we miss in this, because usually you don't ask people that. I mean, there's a reason you ask somebody, how old are you? Now, they better be obviously very old or obviously very young for you to say that. Because if not, then you're going to be probably insulting them. So no doubt Jacob looked really weathered. And you think about it, living out in the desert, living out in the wilderness and all that sun, Tracy and I lived out west for a while, and I remember seeing some of the people that worked outdoors a lot and spent a lot of time in the sun out there, and their skin got a little bit tough. All the sun and all the just the beating down, you begin to kind of see that. You have that cowboy image with all the wrinkles. There's a reason for that, because they're beaten down by the weather, living in that kind of condition. And the same thing here, no doubt, he comes in, he looks at him and says, man, how old are you? The Egyptians didn't live that long. And I love this because as he asks him this, Jacob's response is, I'm just a young guy. Notice Jacob said to Pharaoh, hey, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130. Few and evil have been the days and years of my life. In other words, I'm only 130. I'm a young guy. My dad was 180 and his dad was 175 when they died. So that's 50 years older than me. So I'm not that old. In relation to them. And in relation to them, he wasn't, but notice he says, my days have been few, and that's why he says they're few, because he compares them to his father and his grandfather, Isaac and Abraham, but he says, they've been evil. He says, they have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage, but notice he says they've been evil. Why evil? Because of his struggle. Remember as we follow Jacob's life, all the struggles that Jacob had, and all the things that Jacob did, as he kind of struggled through, and all, he said, this has been hard. And I look back over my life and I think, how much have I struggled, made it harder on myself because I haven't just given in and just followed the flow of what God wanted me to do. It's hard when you fight against God, isn't it? Some of you may be fighting against the Lord this morning. God said to Paul, he said, it's hard to kick against the goads. What was a goad? It's like a spear would be the best way I'd know to describe it for us today. And they would take that spear that was pointed on the end, and they would poke it in the back of the feet of the cattle if they wouldn't go forward. They would put them on their wagons oftentimes. They're toward the front. They would secure them. And so if the oxen were walking and they decided they didn't want to go forward or start backing up, they'd bump into those things. They could get them and kind of prod them with them and make them move on, and they'd get going. And he said to Paul, he said, you're like that, Paul. You're kicking against the goads. You're making it hard on yourself. And I wonder how many of us kick against the goads and make it hard on ourselves. And God says, don't do that. Just do what I want you to do, and I'll bless you. And he says, hey, a lot of my days have been spent kicking against the goads, so to speak. It's been hard. And yet, God has been faithful to him. And so he's kind of telling him his story. No doubt Pharaoh very impressed. It's very obvious that Pharaoh sees something in him that's special. And why so? Because Pharaoh was the king. And yet notice again in verse 10, it mentions that he let Jacob bless him. It says, so Jacob blessed Pharaoh. You would expect Pharaoh to be blessing Jacob. No, Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And he went out from before Pharaoh. And again, this is interesting to me because in the world's eyes, Pharaoh would have been the one that was seen as great. But in God's eyes, it's the servant of the Lord that's seen great, not the king on the throne, but the king that's serving the Lord and will one day rule and reign with him in the kingdom of God. That is the believer in the Lord. And so he blessed him. And scripture says that the lesser is always blessed by the greater. And he allows him to bless him, acknowledging the fact that he is greater in some form and fashion here. And of course, we know that it's in the Lord. But he's saying here that he's greater than Pharaoh is. And so notice this. And Joseph situated his father and his brothers, and he gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh has commanded. Interesting, the land of Ramses. We're going to see that's where they end up building the cities that they get built later when they're slaves. They build the cities there in the land of Ramses, which is there in the land of Goshen. And so we see that that's exactly where they stay and where they're settled in this particular part of the land. And they settled there as the Lord had commanded them. And I love this. Notice lastly, then Joseph provided his father, his brothers, and all his father's household with bread according to the number of their families. Now, isn't this just like, again, the Lord? Again, note this. Another way that Joseph is like Jesus, and that is when we give our life to the Lord, he not only wants us to live in the best of the land and takes us to that place, but he provides for our need. God is faithful to do that. He says, you know, you give your life to me, I'll be sure to take care of you. What we're going to see as we go farther, we're going to see that, you know what? We're going to see what it means to really, what do we need to do to get settled in the land? We talked about being settled in Goshen. They're there in Goshen. And we've seen some of the things that of how Joseph helped them get settled in the land and made that relation to how the Lord helps us get settled in the land. But next week, we're going to see even further how we need to learn from the Lord to be settled in the land and the place that we want to be. But suffice it to say for today is, are you settled? Do you feel that your life is settled in the Lord? If it's not settled in the Lord, why not? It really comes down to giving everything you have to the Lord. You want to be settled in the land? Give it all over to Him. Not just your life. Give Him everything. Your family, your belongings. Say, Lord, it's all yours. I turn everything over to you. So they begin to give everything over to Joseph. And there's a beautiful picture in that of how we need to give everything over to the Lord if we're going to be properly governed by Him and by His authority. And if not, we're going to be kicking against the goads the way that Paul was kicking against the goads. So let's do two things today. Let's pray for God to help us get settled in the land and ask God to do that. And you know what? Let's ask God to give us boldness that we might not be ashamed to call Him Lord, because He's not been ashamed to call us His brothers. Let's pray and ask Him to do it. Lord, give us boldness, Lord. Lord, how impressive it is that Joseph, in this exalted position in the kingdom, could look at his brothers and not be ashamed of the squeaky wheel bouncing off the school wall, but rather say, that's my family, and I love them, and I boldly position myself with them, squeaks and all. Lord, that's what you've done with us. We are squeaky people. And Lord, we have a lot of things that are wrong with us. We need a lot of areas that need your oil, the oil of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to make our lives like they need to be. And God, to give us the boldness that we need. Your word tells us it is by the Holy Spirit that we have boldness, Lord, to not only not be ashamed of you, but to be a bold witness. Father, we need that, especially this season, right now. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Give us boldness that we might be your witnesses. And Lord, we receive it by faith. And Father, I pray as well, Lord, that you'd help us to be settled in the land. If there's something that we're doing, if we're still struggling like Jacob, if we're still kicking against the goads like Paul, Lord, help us to stop kicking and stop struggling and just say, all right, Lord, you've got me. I'm yours. Everything I have is yours. And I turn myself completely over to you, Lord, because we know that's the only way we'll ever be truly governed by the Holy Spirit and by you. And God, that's what we want, because we know that that is a governance that is the only true righteous governance. But Lord, I pray as well for some that may be listening that don't know you as their governor at all. They don't know you as their Lord. And God, they've heard this message. Their heart has been convicted by their sin, by the fact that they are wearing rags. And you, Lord, if they will simply come to you on your terms, you're willing to present them before the King in new robes of righteousness. But Lord, they need to confess you as Lord and repent of their sin. I pray that right now they would begin to confess their sin to you and to believe that you died on the cross for them and spilled your blood and rose again the third day. And if they'll simply believe, confess their sins, and receive you as Lord, they will be saved. Lord, do that work in their hearts. And we give you the glory right now for what you've done and what you're doing. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's always a blessing to have you come to the table of God's Word with us each and every day. Pastor Mark's been going through the book of Genesis, and there's much to learn and appreciate from this first book of the Bible. Sometimes to fully grasp something later on, you need to understand where things began. From verse 1, God made it clear that He was there all along, and He set things in motion exactly as He instructed. Isn't it neat to see that all of creation is under God's authority? That includes you. This could seem a bit intimidating, but it's actually God's way of looking out for your best interests. Once you look at it that way, you start to realize that everything in all of creation is something that God initiated with intention, and that includes you. What a great thing to come to today. If you missed any part of this message or would like to hear this one again, you can always go back and find it at thewaymedia.net. Just click on the Come to the Table tab. Another way to access these messages is by downloading the Way Media app from the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. By doing this, you'll be able to take these teachings with you wherever you go. Would you like to get in touch with us? Our number is 865 865- 865-609-1385. Once more, that's 865-609-1385. Feel free to call us with questions or to even ask for prayer. Please come back for another edition where Pastor Mark will continue his teaching through the book of Genesis the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.